we were Dutch Bros, and then the girl was just like, do the face. And I was like, this could mean so many things, and there's so many things, and I don't know which face you're talking about.
Face.
I have apologized for most of them.
What on earth made you inspired to look at an unstable 18-year-old and be like, let's move her out here. Let's get her going.
Every time I open TikTok, it is someone, it is a picture of me and a floating head being like, so, and I have to go. Every time. It's the For You page is way too for me.
Just so beautiful to see how like fruitful that's been in so many ways.
Yeah.
When we are on our deathbed, it's just us, babes. It's literally just us. And when you're laying there and you're on your deathbed and you're looking up and you're like, this was it. The last thing you're going to do is think like, I wish I would have listened to that one comment. You're not going to think that.
Good evening, girls, gays, this straights. We are joined today by my very special guest that I had to book a year in advance because he's so exclusive, so highly booked and busy. Pilots in the making. Everybody is fighting at the bits for just a sentence from the one, the only Shane.
Wow.
I was waiting for applause to come from somewhere.
That was amazing.
I don't know how to work the, like, there's like a DJ on this thing that you can use, but I don't know how to work it.
For like claps and snaps.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say how amazing? Can we retitle this episode? Or you don't have to call it this because nobody will click it. But like in my head, the title is Diet Coke Divas. Because we all are Diet Coke. And this is the only time this has ever happened. Because usually Ryland's here and he has his annoying LaCroix, or Spencer's here and he can't have caffeine. So this is exciting.
This is solidarity, really, actually.
I think that I got onto soda. You know what I've realized, and you probably realize about everybody around you, is I think I see Shane do something and then I subconsciously think it's cool and then I start doing it without realizing that I'm just a big fat copycat. And that's probably how everyone in your life follows suit.
Well, I hope a lot of people in my life don't copy everything I've done. Because that big fat copycat will get...
Well, big fat copyright. Wow. You do have 9 lives.
Thank you.
You should have, like, you know how they rate like earthquakes?
Like on a magnitude scale?
A magnitude. You should have a magnitude scale. You should do a Patreon video where you like magnitude scale each one.
The Richter scale.
Is this triggering?
Yes.
Sorry.
But, yeah. But not really.
Okay, we're going to have happiness. Happy thoughts, everyone. Calm, happy body.
We were waking up. We listened calm to jazz bodies. Music while you're getting ready. It's going to be a calm, happy day.
Real? You too were listening to jazz?
Does that surprise you?
It was Brooke's playlist, but I join in.
Morgan's like, Blondie, man the playlist. I was like, okay.
And then it was like
Marilyn Monroe.
I just show up to... I like to... not set the environment. I like to show up in other people's environment and get to experience their environment. And that's how I live my life.
You're
and
like a ghost.
Yes. Like when I come here, I'm like experiencing the office environment. When I'm with Brooke, she's creating the environment. But
speaking
I don't
of ghosts, Lizzie texted us at like some obscure hour of the evening and was like, hey, so can you guys come do Potoween 2026 at my house? I think I have a ghost. No context. No context. I said, oh, can we unpack that? She goes, I don't know, but it's a really annoying ghost.
I don't think Lizzie knows if she sees a ghost. Shane would have to go and tell us if there's a ghost there. Speaking of ghosts, are we going to tell them about the fairy house? Is that how you manifest things in your life?
Well, I did. Okay, you can cut this out. But yesterday, you told us that you were going to be potentially on a Netflix show, but you had to sign an NDA and you couldn't tell anybody. And then on my Patreon drop, all the comments were like, so is Morgan going to do the Netflix show? And I was like, okay, well, they already know.
Well, whoa. I only said on one Patreon video at the very end that I was going to pitch myself. And right. I sent my own DM and I was like, sign me up. Right.
And I don't know why they're worried about the cat getting out of the bag.
I haven't been cast for anything, you guys. I'm just manifesting. Right. You know, I saw Miley Cyrus and she was like, if you want something to happen, you just have to start talking about it like it's happening. So I think we should talk about me being on the TV show, me getting the fairy house.
Yes.
Shane and Ryland are moving to Malibu. What are you going to do? She's going to start her own YouTube channel.
Yes.
Yes. That.
So as we do every time we come here, which really rubs people the wrong way, but we're really just having fun. We're having a good fun time. We went to random open houses on Sunday, which we didn't even want to go to. We were just looking to get out of the house and we thought they were both going to be flops. Come to find out, we land in a house that we called the fairy house that has a ghost in it. Shane was talking to the lights. The lights were flickering at him. Through the lights, we figured out that I am supposed to live at that house. Yes. And now we don't know what to do with that information.
Do you talk to lights often?
No. It was okay. It's not, all jokes aside, it was a very, like, the second I stepped in this room, it was like something grabbed my neck. Like, it was, like, intense, right? But it wasn't bad.
Right.
It felt like something grabbed my neck and was just like, I'm here. We love you. Like, it felt like that energy. And I was just like, oh, wow. So this is haunted. And this is a woman. And she's glamorous. And I can see her in, like, the 30s. Like, I literally saw it and I felt it. And then, so I was like, I'm going to step in this closet really fast. And I'm going to talk to this ghost. And Morgan didn't even question it. She's like, yeah, sure. So I step in the closet. I close it. And in my head, I just said, like, if Morgan should live here, give me a sign. I opened the door. And I was like, well, I asked for a sign. And then the light behind Morgan flickered.
Really? Like a lamp?
Mm-hmm. A lamp. A full lamp.
Ooh.
And if that's not a sign, I don't know what is. And maybe the ghost was trying to tell you, because I will say a lot of people in my life tell me to do things, but Shane has the most influence, I would say. If Shane tells me to jump, I'm going to jump.
And I would never do that.
No, I mean, like, into the next chapter.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like everyone is moving into the next phase of life. We're all having a pivoting moment. And what better way to pivot than all pivot together in the same location.
I would love that for you.
Yeah. So what is, okay, I always forget where you are.
I'm in Dallas. I'm in Dallas.
I talk to you as if you've never been to LA, and then I'm like, oh, you lived here.
Yeah, I lived here
for a long time,
like 6 years.
Yeah,
from 2015 LA, which I lived in Hollywood, on Hollywood and Vine. Thank you. Thanks. I did survive that.
Hoverboards
on Vine Street. Many random house parties that I had no business being at. My friends would be like, hop in the car. I'm 17. I'm like, good idea. OMG. But saw Nash Greer jump over a pool once. That was a highlight for 17-year-old Brooke. But yeah, so I lived in LA for many years.
And was it intentional that all of the Viners moved to 1600 Vine? Or did they accidentally end up there and they were like, oh, this is just like our sign that we were supposed to be here?
Nash Greer looks like Miley Cyrus, right? In some lights. Because in my head, I'm seeing Miley.
No, in some lights he does. With those big blue eyes.
The blonde. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Blonde bob. In some lights.
Okay.
Yeah, striking resemblance. He has like a bunch of kids now, like a gaggle of them.
Whoa.
He lives in the wilderness.
He went a different direction.
He did.
Was that good?
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't he in one direction?
No.
Nah.
I was trying to, I think I, no, he wasn't. But
wait,
he could have been.
Nash Greer in One Direction.
He was in the One Direction of YouTube.
He was in MadCon.
Oh, you're thinking
Nash Greer.
You're thinking
Niall Horan.
Oh, that's who I'm picturing with the blonde. And I was like, yeah, Miley Cyrus for sure.
But then you were just thinking of O2L probably, which is not One Direction, but it's also an acronym.
But it's close.
Yes.
But it's really close.
Okay.
You kind of look like Miley Cyrus.
Oh. You kind of look like Nash Greer, actually.
Yeah, totally. I look like a combination of everyone. People do tell me I look like Millie Bobby Brown, and I'm like, I don't know if you have correct eye vision.
When we started this podcast, everyone, because I am like a chronic comment reader, I'm not reformed yet.
No, don't do that.
I know, I'm not reformed yet. I know.
Don't read these.
It's really embarrassing. But everyone's like, oh my God, Brooke, you look like Noah Cyrus.
Mm. I do. And you know
you
what else?
Think?
You look like Noah Cyrus. You look like Alexa Losey.
I have gotten that before.
Yeah.
But they were like, Noah Cyrus. And I'm like, she is so pretty. I don't see it. And the other one is
Emily Osment.
You think?
Yes. From Hannah Montana.
Yeah. Wow.
Lily Coded and Miley. And there's a wig right behind you. I can't take it. I can't take it. You're in your Hannah wig. Miley's behind
yeah,
you.
I really do have a wig on. Don't look too close at the back. Who do people say you look like? Well, you just look like you. Have you seen that guy that does like, I can always look like Shane Dawson, and then he does your face? And that's the face that the girl was asking you to do at the Dunkin' drive-thru.
Someone asked you to do a face.
So I have no idea what was happening. So, and I'm not lying, guys. I do not go on TikTok. Like, every time I open TikTok, it is a picture of me and a floating head being like, so, and I have to every time. It's the For You page is way too for me, but it's not for me because I don't want that.
Right.
So anyways, so yes, I didn't know that was a thing. So yeah, we were Dutch Bros, and then the girl was just like, do the face. And I was like, This could mean so many things, and, and there's so many things, and I don't know which face you're talking about.
Face.
I have apologized for most of them. I don't
many
like,
faces.
I don't know. And then she was just like, "No, the face." And I literally was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." I was like, "Is it like Shanae?" I literally couldn't figure
she
it out.
She doubled down. She was like, "No, no the face." She gets pissed.
You know the face. I was like, "I really don't, because you do it." And she goes, "I can't do it. It's your face." And then Morgan's in the back's like, "I think I found the face." And I was like, "What's the face?" And then she turns it, and yeah, it was that kid doing
it's like the
or something. Is it or is it or I don't remember.
But, it's a good face.
So then I like tried to do it for her, and she went. I was like, I mean, I tried.
And did
like,
she tip
mouth
you?
Pop, mouth pop. And then I was like, I could do that. I was like, can I do that?
Yes, queen. Yes, queen.
I was like, I don't know. I guess drag queens do it. I don't know. Yeah. You know, listen, whatever people want me to do, I'll do it. And that, I hope that doesn't, you know, get me in trouble. Because like, even the other day, I was at CVS and this like group of girls walked up and they were really, what's like a, I can say hi, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They told me they were, but they used another Gen Z word for it. What'd she
zooted,
say?
Like baked.
Yes. Was
zooted?
It that one? Maybe.
Baked.
I don't know. She was buying like Pedialyte or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was just like, oh, you know, that's like Pedialyte. Like, cause she was, you know, whatever.
Gardening. Gone.
And I was just like, what is that? She goes, I don't know. I'm just craving it. And I was like, period. Crack one open for me. But yeah, they were really high and but so sweet. But yeah, she just started like asking if she could slap my butt. And then I was like, I guess, like, I don't know.
You
and
said yes.
I mean, but she was so sweet. And I was
you
like,
turned
I
it right over.
And we were just in the middle of CVS at, you know, midnight. And she was just like, what did she say? She goes, not Shane Dawson out bodying me. And then I had to Google that.
Body tea.
What?
It meant I have a fat ass.
Yeah. Body tea.
Yeah.
Damn. Wait. Body tea?
Well, she, like, out yeah,
body is
her.
Tea. Yeah. The body's tea.
She didn't say the body was tea. I hope she thought it.
Of course she, of course she did.
I didn't get the tea remark, but yeah. Anyway, so I was like, well, this is weird. But listen, yeah, sure. Slap my butt. I don't care or whatever. Like anything you, all, whatever you want. This mm-hmm. is our meet and greet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not
in
gonna.
The CVS in the next CVS. To a Pedialyte. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, I'll give you the face.
Yeah.
Whatever face you want.
Morgan in the back Googling the face is actually killing me.
Well, in my head, I can also envision the face, but I don't know if our visions are the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There have been a lot of different eras of face.
Yeah, am I holding food? Am I?
Is there a yellow background behind
is
you?
Is there fire behind me? Is
Ooh, the waffle iron, you know? I have a confession to make. The waffle iron videos. When my brother first started dating you, he was like, this is who I'm dating. And I was like, I'm going to do a deep dive. Because I was always watching girl YouTube. Brooke and I have established
I was
watched
boy YouTube.
I watched like Bethany Mota and like Ooh. Nikki DeMar.
Yes.
So then I did a deep dive and the waffle iron videos were my personal my personal fave. Those are what got me going.
Yeah,
I was like, LOL.
Oh, and I may have dabbled in a Barbie and the waffle iron every once in a while.
Yes, that's
the
one I remember.
Every once in a while. I mean, you had to. It was a sign of the times. Culture,
if you
will.
Did you still have the waffle iron? Or did you get rid of everything?
Did you frame it?
It is in my Trigger Museum.
The vaults. It's like
it's
deep
in the
vaults.
Okay, no, we can talk about something more positive. Current day.
Well, what is boy YouTube and what is girl YouTube? I think I know, but like, is British YouTube like in the middle?
In the middle? No, it is. It is. It's right in the center. Boy YouTube, I would say, is like
Sam and Colby.
Smosh. Mm-hmm. I'm talking older, like Smosh. Who else? There's tons of them.
What are their names?
I was a Bethany Mota, Jenna Marble, Kalel, Alicia Marie. Mm.
I was a
PewDiePie
girl.
Oh, okay.
Lots of PewDiePie.
See, I didn't even. Yeah, see, our line is thick.
Thick.
Mm. But I feel like you crossed both lines.
You did.
You were there for everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
You were a magnet to the masses.
Mm. Oh my gosh. It's like, what did the Pinterest lady say? You were such a bright light that all the moths had to come for you.
Wow.
Who said that?
It's like a thing, you know, like all the moths go towards the brightest light. You're a bright light. So everyone's attracted to you.
It doesn't end well for those moths. Though.
Well, you know, that's besides the point.
If you know anything about me, I have in the past outed myself as being a full-blown sugar addict, which is why I have been obsessed with Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon just figured out how to turn treats into something you can actually feel good about eating. You may have noticed that it is all the rage right now. Everybody is obsessed with getting in more protein, more fiber, and this is an easy and tasty way to do so. Magic Spoon treats have amazing macros with 12 grams of protein and 7 grams of fiber. They have only 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, making them great for those of us who are being more carb conscious. And the best part of all, 0 grams of added sugar. They have the best nostalgic dessert-coated flavors like marshmallow, chocolate peanut butter, and double chocolate. They are perfect for taking on the go or crushing that late-night sweet craving. It is a rare snack that is indulgent enough to be fun, but functional enough to eat at any time of the day. You might know Magic Spoon for their iconic cereal. Their high-protein, zero-sugar cereal brings all the childhood nostalgia with none of the sugar bomb. Each serving has 12 to 14 grams of protein and between 0 to 2 grams of sugar, so it actually keeps you full and energized. They've got classic flavors like fruity, frosted, cinnamon crunch, cocoa, peanut butter, and more. Magic Spoon is easy to find. Just look for Magic Spoon at your local grocery store, and they just rolled out treats nationwide at 7-Eleven. And if you haven't tried them yet, check out Magic Spoon's new protein pastries, a high-protein, low-sugar take on the classic toaster pastries you grew up with. You can get $5 off of your next order, including the protein pastries, at magicspoon.com/hearmeout. That's magicspoon.com/hearmeout. For $5 off, and thank you so much to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode.
In Colorado, their house and my house is in the moth migration zone, and it's an actual term that happens. It's called mothpocalypse. Every June and July, thousands, and you think we're exaggerating? Literally thousands of moths pile in the doorways, and we're trying to avoid mothpocalypse.
And even Spencer, who like loves nature, loves bugs, like loves snakes, loves all that, he came to stay at the Colorado house, and I was like, there's a lot of moths. And he's like, I don't care. I'll be fine. Literally, he just texts me and he goes, wow, this is a lot. And I go to he's in the guest area, like guest barn. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. He's not like in
he's out barn. Back.
He's out back.
In the shed.
It's like when they say Chris is out in the shed.
Brooke was like, what? We were eating dinner. They're like, oh, Chris is in the shed. Like, he's almost done. I go, oh, locked up? Chained back there? Oh, no, Chris.
No, there's AC. There's Gucci wallpaper.
There was a water bowl. He was absolutely fine.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, and I look out the window and I just see Spencer through the window of the barn panicking with like a big vacuum hose. And he's just like trying to kill moths. And I was just like,
hands on the windows crying, yeah. Please. And
I was like, come stay in the house. It's okay. There's still moths in here, but it's not as bad. It's like, it's actually horrible. And it's like, I literally had to cover my food while I was eating it because moths would just land on it or like hit the ceiling and fall into it. And it's bad. And then it's like when they fly themselves into a wall, because I don't know if they're blind or not, but they explode. It's just the grossest.
Damn.
Saddest.
It's horrific.
I'm so excited to visit.
Brooke missed mothpocalypse last year. We started filming post mothpocalypse. There is nothing more jarring than when you wake up in the middle of the night and turn on a light and one starts like, and they feel like birds.
Oh, they get in the house.
They're big and then they smack themselves on the wall and it's like guts everywhere. Red, bright red guts.
Right.
So we're trying to avoid that. And that's why I think the fairy house is calling to me. I want to be a fairy, not a moth killer. Mm. But I'm just simply starting the manifestation process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So let's walk through it. So I know, so people get mad at you when you talk about moving because you talk about moving a lot, but you actually don't move a lot.
No, I actually have only lived in two places long term.
Right. Which when I was your age, oh my God. I mean, me and my family moved every year. Like that was our thing. I wonder where I get it from.
No, I think a lot of people, especially in their 20s, like move once their lease ends just to experience something new. I don't think it's that uncommon for people to move once a year.
I lived in tons of cities. 6 month leases. I was like a year. Yeah, fucking right. Yeah. No.
So, yeah, 6 months. Didn't you live by the beach once before?
I did for, you know, it's so funny. In my brain, I was there for so long because I think there was a demon in that apartment. But in reality, I was probably only there for like 6 months.
So can we unpack that?
Yeah.
Demon in an apartment.
So I had a period of life where, and listen, who knows what's real and what's not. But I will say that was a very dark phase. And I just felt really depressed, like overwhelmingly depressed. And now that I'm putting it together, that's when I started drinking. And I've been told
you
by
mediums. You were a drinker?
I mean, by drinking, I mean, like, I would, like, drink a bottle of rum chata by myself. And it would take me a few days.
Rum chata.
It's so good. I can't.
Rum chata.
I gained, like, 20 pounds in, like, a week. Though. It's crazy. And it's like coffee cream. Oh, my God. A dirty soda with rum chata is crazy.
Hold on. Write that down. Spencer!
Oh, no. We should He's start still doing alcohol dirty sodas. Like, you know how people do, like, a vodka Diet Coke?
But a rum chata.
The girl does it. Oh, fuck. I don't remember her name.
A rum chata?
The girl who does, like... So she does a hey all my salty girls or something, and then but she always has a big glass, and then she'll like make a big Diet Coke.
Oh yes, the Irish girl.
Is she maybe?
It's time for a drink. Yeah,
maybe.
It's that girl.
And then
yeah,
she'll like make that girl. She'll like make an alcoholic Diet Coke or something.
She'll take the straw and spin it really fast, and then gulp that shit down.
And I'm just like, maybe she'll start drinking again.
Maybe that will be your beach thing, like. On a Friday night, you'll have no. You'll have like a Friday night, like looking out at the ocean. You'll have your dirty Diet Coke, alcoholic beverage.
I can't drink anymore; it makes my stomach hurt.
So okay, apartment.
Yeah,
rum chata.
Yes, demons.
Possibly oppression.
So I started drinking a lot. I hadn't come out yet. I was drinking. I mean, I wasn't like drinking. I was always alone, and I would just have a few glasses of my rum chata, and I just get really like sad. And I was really unhappy with what I was making on YouTube at the time. I wasn't enjoying that. I mean, I enjoyed the process, right? Because I like being creative, but I wasn't like, how many celebrity perfumes can you smell and rank? Or how many Pop-Tarts can you taste?
How many Barbies can you disfigure?
That was kind of later.
Bad. Oh, okay,
but
good.
But that was also dark.
Right.
So yeah, I was like, I want to live by the beach. I moved into this apartment building, and the apartment felt weird right when I walked in. It like felt really weird, and like shout out to this apartment, it's great, but this specific room felt really fucking off. And yeah, it was weird. And then I'd had sleep paralysis a lot, and I was feeling really depressed and really dark. I like broke my leg, then I was on painkillers, and then that lasted a while. Then I came out. And then things started turning around once I got the fuck out of there. And that's when I moved into
Sunswept.
Yeah. And I won this competition show where I made a movie and I won a chunk of money. So I used that for the down payment for the house. So then I got out of that apartment and then everything changed. I stopped drinking. I mean, I still dabbled with Rylan when I started dating him. But I really stopped drinking. The house felt good. It felt haunted, but it didn't feel evil or anything, except for you, when it was attacking you. But
I thought you meant
the door,
she was
the shaking
evil.
Door. It's yeah. real. No. The door would shake, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. Mm-hmm. So then a medium told me that specific apartment that I was in had like not just like a spirit, but like an evil spirit.
Really?
And it was like sucking on my energy and making me go to really dark places. And I was just like, oh, that's pretty interesting.
You were under a spiritual attack in the apartment?
It kind of felt like that. And then I felt like maybe like I won in a way because I like came out and I kind of faced all the scary things that I had been holding on to. And I think maybe God and the universe was like, okay, you passed that test. Because I could have went the other way where I didn't come out and I went into the drinking, you know, doing, because that is in my family. And then I, you know, just kept waffle ironing Barbies. And, you know, I still did, but only for another 6 months. So I'm like, maybe I could have went down the wrong path or something. I don't know. But yeah.
I don't think you would have been able to go down the wrong path. I don't think the universe would have let that happen to you.
Do you think that switching...
I think all paths are good paths, but you always choose the good path. Well, okay. I mean, you always find your way back to the light.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I've definitely like made mistakes, but I think everything happens for a reason. And like, can you imagine? Isn't that crazy? Like, not to justify any horrible jokes I've made or anything, but it is interesting that like everything led to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
The hard stuff, the things we regret, like all of it. Like, if I wouldn't have gone through all that and done things I regret and all that, never would have got here, never would have met Rylan, never, you know, would have had kids, never would have, you probably never would have started YouTube. That wasn't even in your brain. Like,
yeah,
when I met you, you were just like, what? I was like, you should start a channel. And you were just like, I'm not a scientist. I was like, no, it's not hard. Like, I don't know. It is just,
I was like, I have $4 to my name. I work at On the Border Mexican Cantina and I don't have anything interesting to say.
And like, if Rylan never would have started, if he never would have auditioned for Smosh, which he told us about on his podcast, if he never would have started working for Clever, we never would have met. It's like everybody's lives. Like, it's just crazy that like we all have these different things and then we all connect at some point. And what would have happened if we didn't? I don't know.
It would have been crazy. That I did ask people on the Patreon questions to ask you, but I have my own personal question that I don't think I've ever asked.
Okay.
Are we allowed personal questions?
Yeah.
My personal question, because now that I am 28, nearing 30,
right,
I think about what you and my brother were doing when you were my age, mm-hmm, like 9-8 years ago. Mm. What on earth made you inspired to look at an unstable 18-year-old and be like, let's move her out here. Let's get her going.
What inspired me?
Yeah, like, why would you do that? I'm grateful that you did.
Because they had so much faith. Like, why they had so much faith in you?
I'll tell you the exact moment.
Yeah, because I was presenting nothing that was like, I have a lot of good traits. You should bring me on.
I'll tell you the exact moment. We were sitting at your brother's house. No, we were sitting at your aunt's house. And it was, the table was me, you, and your brother. Austin, not Ron. And you were crying and you were really upset because you felt like you had no idea what you're going to do with your life. And then he was trying to give advice. And then, you know, I was trying to give advice, but you were just really like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And then I was just, and you were like debating going back to college or something, or it was something about college, and then, but you couldn't afford it. And then like, how would you do, you know, whatever. And then I was just like, well, what do you want to do? What do you get excited about? And I think you said like photography or something. I was like, okay, so you get excited by creative things. And, you know, what I started kind of talking about that. And then I think that same trip is when you started telling me about the ghost, Angie. And then I was just like, oh, this is a good video idea, because like haunted stuff is fun. She has a connection to this ghost. Like the house does feel kind of haunted. So like, this is kind of an interesting thing. And then it really organically happened. And then I just started filming it. And then I saw how creative you were, but also how good you were on camera. And you weren't nervous. You weren't like, oh, a camera. Like you really turned on and you were so funny. And then I was just in my head like, I think this is what she's meant to do. So then I kind of started dropping the hints, like, have you ever thought about YouTube, whatever? And you're just like, I don't know, whatever. But then after we filmed it, I could tell that you enjoyed it. And then that's when I was like, I think you should start a channel, because once I post this, people are going to want more of you. And I think that could be something you love and could be creative and also could end up making you money. And then you could use that money to do, you know, go back to college or whatever you're thinking about doing. So then once you started your channel, I instantly was just like, oh, she's a YouTuber. This is going to be a thing. I'm going to have to like help her, guide her, make sure she doesn't fall down the traps, like whatever. And in my head, the safest way to do that would be if you were closer. I don't think it was ever like a, you know, we didn't force you to, but it was kind of like, hey, this is an option if you want to be with us during this. And I'm happy we did that, because I think if you would have been doing it in Colorado alone, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that you forced me to do it at all. I'm just saying it's crazy. Like the concept to me to be like freshly dating someone and then be like, yeah, let's let your sister move in. Like, I don't think a lot of people would do that.
My gut just told me like it was like God or, you know, whatever it was like in my brain that at that table, I was like, I'm going to help her. I just don't know what yet. And then the second we started filming and I was interviewing you in your room, it was like, you know, those moments where you watch. It's happening, but you know it's going to be like the most important, one of the most important moments of you and the other person's lives. Like it happened for me like multiple times, like when I was interviewing Jeffrey, or like it's happened to me in certain ways where I'm like, this is going to be an important moment for both of us, good or bad. This is going to be something in our lives forever. That happened. And so once that happened, I was like, huh. And I think that's what gave me the, but that's how kind of I am when my gut tells me something. I'm so confident about it. And I'm so like, this is what it is. And like, I'm going with it that like, yeah, I'm like, of course you should move out here. Of course we should help you with YouTube. Of course, you know, this is the path you should be on. Even if you don't want to be a YouTuber in a few years, like do this, like save up the money. Like here's an opportunity. Like my gut was just telling me that it was going to work out.
Have you always trusted your gut like that? Or was it something you kind of learned over time?
I think always, and I think it was because, like, not to get depressing, but, you know, childhood was rough, and I think growing up in a house where, like, think something would happen, and it was like, the only way out of this is God, or, like, a bigger force, or something else helping out of this situation, And then I would like watch my mom pray and I would watch things happen and or like go with gut feelings, even if it was scary and it didn't make sense at the time. I'm like, why are we doing this? Whatever. It would work out. Mm-hmm. And I think I just started when I was young, trusting that gut feeling and being like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And if it doesn't work out and something bad happens, that was supposed to happen too. So it's like, I've kind of always done that, but like, it has worked out, but, you know, there's been horrible moments and like horrible things, but then even in retrospect, it's like, oh, well, that was supposed to happen because of X, Y, and Z. So I just really trust it.
But one of my favorite quotes of all time is, gut feelings are guardian angels.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. Morgan has asked that, like, we've talked about her YouTube journey before, and she's like, I just don't know what they saw in me. Like, I just don't know why. And I love that. You got an answer.
Oh my gosh. We usually talk about poop and now I'm crying in the club. I'm like, why? I was crazy.
No, you weren't. I remember when we were at that Mexican restaurant, Pink Taco.
Oh my God. And I was having a mental breakdown.
You were just like crying and what'd you say? You grabbed me and you're just like, you were like, why do you care about me? I was like, nacho in my mouth. I was like,
all right, unpacking that.
Oh my God. Are you guys both crying?
I
can't stop crying.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
Well, it's just crazy.
Well, of course. Oh my God. You made me cry.
Sorry.
No.
Well, I don't think like, oh my gosh, we're a mess. We usually talk about poop. What's your poop on the poop scale?
No.
Never mind.
No, it's just.
I guess not. And I lifted the lid to go pee and I was like, okay, somebody had a moment.
Wait, where?
In the guest bathroom of the office. I was like, somebody had a moment.
Here? Oh, yeah. It wasn't
me. I'm not saying it
was. Surprisingly, it wasn't me. No, it's just funny because in school, all these teachers were like, uh-oh, Vicky Brew, she's doomed.
No.
She's.
But I think that's the beautiful thing is sometimes it genuinely only takes one person to see you for like who you are and what you have to offer. And it's just so beautiful to see how like fruitful that's been in so many ways.
Yeah. Let's be real for a second. How many of you actually know every single subscription you're currently paying for? I had a total wake-up call when I realized I was paying for things I had not used in months. It's so easy to sign up for a free trial, then completely forget about it, while the charges just keep hitting your account. This is exactly why I've been using Rocket Money. Rocket Money is basically a personal finance assistant that lives in your phone. It consolidates your checkings, savings, and even your investments into one single dashboard so you finally have a clear view of your entire financial picture. The best part is that it tracks your subscriptions and can actually help you and cancel the unwanted ones within the app in just a few taps. This feature alone has saved users over 880 million in canceled subscription. It also categorizes your transactions automatically so you can see exactly where your money is going and set budgets that actually help you reach your goals. In fact, users who create a financial goal within the app save over $70 on average within the first 30 days. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/hearmeout. That's rocketmoney.com/hearmeout. One more time. That is rocketmoney.com/hearmeout. Having your finances in track is a hot thing to do, girls and gays. Let's get on it.
Oh my God.
Sorry, everyone.
No.
Wow.
I think like...
Do you ever wonder what would happen if all of us would have never met? Or if you would have never specifically met my brother? Like, what do you think you would be doing? I guess you don't even want to think about that because that would have never happened. The universe wouldn't have allowed it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really think about, like, I think, thank God things happen. Like, I'm so happy things happen. But I try not to go down the rabbit hole of, like, what if, would have. Rylan does that a lot. He's just like, oh, I should have done, or I wish I would have, or why didn't I? And I'm just like, you're wasting your time. Like, you're literally wasting your time. You cannot go back. Why are you wasting your time? But for you, I feel like, I mean, but like I said earlier, I feel like I'm being so annoying, but like,
you're not.
Thank God. And, you know, those people didn't believe in you because that's what built you. And then when someone did believe in you, you know, it was the perfect timing. Mm-hmm. Because if your teacher would have said in fifth grade, like, she's going to be, you know, she has this and she's going to be whatever, whatever, then you don't form into the person that you're supposed to be. You become this person who thinks that you're owed everything and thinks mm-hmm. that you deserve everything and thinks that you're going to be all these things. Like, I had teachers telling me from the beginning that I was the worst. Like, I mean, I had, and I wasn't even like a class clown or anything, but like, I remember I was so quiet. I didn't talk until like high school. Like, I was a very quiet kid. And I did like one thing in elementary school where I like tried to make people laugh and people laughed and I was so excited. So I did it again. And the teacher literally yelled at me. It was just like, stop trying to get attention. Like, you're just trying to get attention. It was so crazy. And I was like, oh my God. So it's like, I've had that situation happen a few times in school. And like, you know, but thank, like, I'm so happy that kids weren't like, he's hilarious. He's like, I was like annoying and a loser. And like, it wasn't until my senior year of high school where people actually started like interested in the videos. But like, I don't think I'm so happy though, because if I would have grown up being like, I'm going to be this and that, I never would have.
Mm. Yeah, maybe overconfidence is not the way.
I mean, for some people are like, you know, they were meant to do this thing and they know it and they're going to do it. And like, everybody around them knows it. And that's great. And then some people are like, you know, what do they say? Like, a diamond is formed from
like
pressure.
Right.
You got to really rough that thing up for it to sparkle and shine.
Right. And that's why you're so funny and you're so caring and you're like, and that's why an audience connects to you, because you're not performative or saying what you think they want you to hear, or like, you're not doing a lot of things that I think a lot of other YouTubers at the time that you started were doing. Not to, you know, put them on blast, but I think even they'd agree, like, you know, that was a time on YouTube where it was like really PR and really safe and making kid content and trying not to say anything bad or whatever, and you were just out there not giving a fuck. And like, but that's what people love.
Well, that is very sweet. It is crazy though that it's what, 10 years later.
I know.
Time goes by so fast.
I know.
It's like, we're going to wake up tomorrow and we're going to be like, oh my God, we're all 40 and 50. Remember 10 years ago when we were sitting in that office? But I love this office. Yeah, it is crazy because all these things link together, because I think people get mad at me when I say that I want to move, because they're like, you hated it there. You had a horrible time. And I think there were horrible moments, but there's also like so many pieces that link together. Like, I met Brooke at the Soul Cycle. Me and my brother did all these fun, crazy things. And then once you step away, then you really realize like, oh, there were things that I did like about that, but you can't see it when you're right in front of it, you know?
That's the thing. Like, we're still growing up. Like, all of us.
You guys are so young.
But like, even you, like, you're still growing up. Like, we never stop growing up. And a place can become something different. Like, I used to live around here and I thought for many years, you and I would talk about it all the time, like, you couldn't pay me to go back. And now mm-hmm. being here, I have found parts of my heart healing that like I didn't even know were wounded. And I think that that's the beautiful thing, is you can develop new relationships to places that had maybe harsh memories and like mm-hmm. make new ones. And it's just a testament to growth. Like,
yeah.
It's a good thing. It means you're healing. And that's positive. And also, retrospection can be one of the best forms of medicine, because thinking about you crying at a kitchen table at 18, being like, what on earth am I going to do with my life? Mm-hmm. And then now sitting on this couch 10 years later, mm-hmm. like, you can look back and it's like, you can heal that 18-year-old part of you, because you're like, man, I figured it out and mm-hmm. I had help along the way, and it's a beautiful thing. And it's a really good exercise to think back on moments where you're like, what am I going to do next? And it really does all work out. Even if it doesn't work out the way that you think it's supposed to, nothing that's for you is going to pass you.
Yeah, I think there's a hard balance too of like being grateful for what you have in the mm-hmm. moment. Because I think forever, when I was like 18, 19, I was like, I would love to, like, if I ever lived in my own house with my own dishwasher. I don't know why the dishwasher was my thing. I lived in a place without a dishwasher once and I was like, I will know that I've made it in life if I have my own dishwasher and my own washer and dryer. And then you like move on in life and you get the washer and dryer and you get the dishwasher, and then you take those things for granted because it's like normal to you now. Mm. So I think for me, it's a hard balance of like being grateful for what you have, but realizing it's okay to also want to dabble in something else.
Yeah, I think that that's just life. Like I mean, I always think about that. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm so, especially after when like in a moment where I thought I was going to lose everything. Mm-hmm. Like I had a moment where I was like, okay, after I decided that I was going to, you know, stay on the planet. Sorry, it's dark. But once I was like, once I came down from the intensity of the situation, I mean, it took a long time, but I was like, okay, now I have to make a game plan. I don't foresee myself ever posting on the internet again. Not because I didn't want to create things, but because I thought that there's no place for me there. Nobody wants me there. This is not whatever. So then I had like that talk with a book, you know, my bookkeeper at the time being like, okay, so how long do I have my money for? You know, when does it run out? And then she was just like, 4 years. I was like, okay. Okay, so I'm not doing good with investments. And I wasn't at the time. Right. I really was not focused on that. So I was like, okay. So then I was like planning, you know, okay, so what does that mean? And how? And then, you know, luckily, I think a year later, once I got the bug, a year and a half later, once I got the bug to make something again, and I was like, I'm going to post this. And that's really scary. But for some reason, my gut's telling me to post it. And I did. And, you know, thankfully, here I am 6 years later, 5 years, whatever it is, creating things and being okay financially and not being worried and stuff. But it's like that because of that time period. Now I'm so grateful because I'm like, I know what it feels like for, you know, I grew up poor. And so I know what that feels like. And then I knew what that fear of losing everything. And then, you know, I had a year and a half where I didn't make money and then whatever. It was really scary. So yeah, I agree. You can't forget how grateful you are for things. But like you said, you could still want more for your life. It doesn't mean that you have to just stay stagnant and be like, well, okay, now I'm grateful, so I'm not going to change anything or try hard or whatever. I'm just going to stay with what I have. And I told Rylan that because he was panicking the other night a little bit about finances. And he was just like, I don't think we can move. I don't, whatever, whatever. And I was just like, I get it. But also like, I think sometimes you just, if your gut is telling you something, you just go with it and you figure it out and it's scary and you just do it versus like, you know, just staying in the same place forever.
I know, I'm feeling myself fall into the trap. I'm like, if I'm already 5 years deep to living in rural America by myself, how long do I stay before I'm like, oh, I don't want to live by myself in rural America anymore?
Well, so what's your goal as far as like, you know, for this next chapter of your life, like aside from YouTube or finances or any of that, like what do you foresee your goal being? Like, do you want to be, you know, what do you see?
That's a big question. It's funny because now for so long I was fixating on like, I want to find my husband and I want to have kids, but right now I think I'm content just doing what I'm doing. But I think I'm in a, you go through like creative waves, you know, where you're like, I really like the videos that I'm making. I really like the thumbnails. And then you get kind of like, oh, I don't, every time I put out a video right now, I'm like, this is not my best work. I have done this so many times. I've said everything that I need to say. I don't got anything left that's like new and exciting to me. You know, it's like the same repetition over and over and over. So I think I'm trying to figure out like, what's the next thing? And I think my thing is still like, YouTube videos. I just don't know if what I'm doing right now is like fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? It's like I've been doing the same shtick for so long. When do you pivot your shtick? Mm. Like I feel like the repetition gets a little boring.
Well, there's not a ton of variety where you live.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is beautiful. It's a big reset. You're less stressed where you are. But the repetition of career and everyday being similar can get.
Well, yes. I was also thinking like, aside from videos, like, what do you foresee your life being? Like, do you see? Because obviously.
It changes every day.
You can't look for a husband and kids. Like, that's going to come to you mm-hmm. when you least expect it. So that's, you can't look for that. I mean, maybe you can, but I feel like that's something that just happens and then it's like, oh my gosh. But like for your daily life, it's like, I want to wake up and feel this way while doing this thing, or like, you know, what's...
I think I like the way that I feel when I'm here. Like, I love being around my brother and I love being around Lizzie and I love being around Spencer, and I like that like built in comfort, you know, because it's not like I'm having to go to lunch with people and be like, where did you grow up? But it's scary because I think maybe, and I also am known to let the commentators dictate my life. So I think I'm afraid that I'm like doing a disservice by being like, oh, well, none of you want me to move, so I just won't. Because
oh God, yeah, don't do that.
Well, that's what I do do.
No, don't read comments. I mean,
well, that's what I try to tell Brooke too.
I'm like, don't read this.
No, I tell her, I'm like, don't read the comments because then they'll dictate your opinions, because that's like the trap that I live in.
Let me tell you this one thing that I'll never forget. And I've never talked about this because I don't want to ever give somebody attention or like, you know, think that they got me or whatever, right? And I truly stand by, I do not, maybe like in 2019 when I was doing like all the docu stuff, I'd get excited to watch like a drama video about me or something, because I'd be like, because usually people liked me back then.
Right.
But once I got canceled, though, that was gone and I could not watch anybody. Even if I thought maybe they liked me, I still couldn't watch it. Mm-hmm. It was still triggering and scary and like whatever. So I'm not one of those people, even though people don't believe me maybe, but like I'm not someone who I've never been in my Reddit. The last time I was there was in 2015 when people said I was balding and I was like, oh my God. And I got on hair pills. So thank you, Reddit.
Thank you.
But that's the only time I've let them dictate. But like, I'm not somebody who, I do not want to see anything about myself. If it's on my homepage, I panic. I do not recommend whatever. But there was one night, peak cancellation, where on my YouTube homepage, I hadn't looked at YouTube in like a few weeks because I was just like, I don't, you know, I'm too scared. I was just watching, you know, movies. Then I opened up YouTube because I'm like, okay, let me just see. And this fucking video popped up. I don't remember what it was called, but it was obviously not good about me. And I was just like in a state where I was like, well, let me just see what she's saying, because I'm never going to make anything ever again. And I'm like, you know, I hate myself and I'm the worst and blah, blah, blah. I clicked on it, literally like self-harm. And I clicked on it and I'm like watching it, and it was, you know, exactly what I thought it was going to be. And I was just like so upset. And then she said, she was like, I think it's just time for Shane to give up and retire, or something like that. They're just, it's done. It is just time to go away forever. And I was like, wow, okay. And like when she said that, I was like, in the moment, I believed it. I was like, yeah, okay. And then when I like started to, you know, then I let it go. And then a year passed or whatever, year and a half. And then I got the idea again, whatever. But I still kind of heard that thing in my head. He's time to retire, time to retire, time to retire. And then when I made the video and I posted the video, whatever, and now I look back 5-6 years later, I'm like, thank God I didn't listen to this person who doesn't know me, who only knows me from my content I've made, which, yes, a lot of it did not age well and I have apologized for. But like, thank God I didn't listen to this person and just leave. If I would have just left, like, I would have not been fulfilling what I think I was put on this earth to do, which is connect with people and make things that I'm proud of and excited about and put them on. It's like, what? I would just, what? Just go into a hole and die? Like, it was such a crazy thing, right? So I said all that to say, do not, even the good stuff, don't let any of it dictate. Because even the good stuff, like, if somebody's just like, I think you should have a baby, or, you know, I think you should do X, Y, and Z, and you're like, well, maybe I should do it because that's what they want me to do. And then, you know, and whatever. And then that leads you down a whole nother trap where now you're like
living unhappy, someone else's
but
life.
You're living for people who genuinely, and I'm so grateful for people who have supported me and supported you and all these things. But at the end of the day, we're all our own people. And like, when we are on our deathbed, it's just us, babes. It's literally just us. And when you're laying there and you're on your deathbed and you're looking up and you're like, this was it. The last thing you're going to do is think like, I wish I would have listened to that one comment. You're not going to think that. You're going to think, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have, you know, been on my phone less when I was with my kids. I wish, you're going to think about those things. You're not going to be like, I wish I, you know, would have listened to this person on Reddit tell me that I should stop wearing these pants because they make me look fat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So do what you want to do and don't care about that, because a lot of those people don't care about you. Mm. You're not real to them.
Yeah, we're like movie characters. We're like fictional anime characters.
No, and my therapist tells me all the time, she's like, good or bad, like, and you know, the support is amazing. And I'm not saying that supportive people aren't real. I'm saying, like, even at the height of it, when I felt like everybody liked me, I always knew, though, I was like, at some point they're not going to, because it's not like they don't know me as a person. It's like you kind of turn into this character, mm-hmm. you know, you're content. You're a face that gets them views on their video. They don't, if you ran into them in person, they'd probably be nice to you. It's like a very bizarre, you know.
Yes. And I would say the truest testament to who you are as a person is how people in your real life flock to you because they always want to be around you. Mm-hmm. And the people on the internet aren't like, wow, it's interesting how Shane has everyone in his life that always wants to be around him because he just must be so fun and exciting. Like, they don't look at that, you know, but it's the people in your real life that are like, Shane is so fun and amazing and we just want to hang out with him all day, every day. So it's like only the people in your real life know the true you.
Right.
Did that make any sense?
No, yeah, yeah.
That was meant to be a compliment.
No, thank you. No, I think, like, but I do think, listen, that's another thing I've had to work on in therapy is, like, I get in my head sometimes because I feel like I can be different in different scenarios. Like, on my podcast, I'm, you know, serious, conspiracy, whatever. And then on my, you know, on another podcast, like here, I'll be more like lighthearted and jokey and whatever and loud and stuff. And then in my vlogs, it's like, I feel like, and then I started to get in my head in therapy. I'm like, oh my God, like, why can't I be the same person in every scenario? Like, I feel like, oh, I said too many stupid jokes on that one podcast interview. Why did I do that? Or, oh, I was too serious in this one thing. Why did I? And then she was like, think about, because you're a person, and think about how weird it would be if you were the same everywhere. Like, that's not normal. Like, mm-hmm. you should, everybody is different around their friends than they are around their mom, than they are around their, you know, whatever. It's like, that's what being a person is. And you have multiple facets of your personality. You have good days, you have bad days. Like, you snap at people, you get too sensitive. Like, that's what being a person is. And like, you shouldn't be, if there's comments telling you it's weird that you're different on certain things, don't let those people make you feel like you can't be a person.
Well, yeah, because all of those just add up to who you are as a person in different areas of your life. But they're still all you. Mm-hmm. Like, I never watch something and I'm like, wow, Shane was really, like, not Shane in this.
Right.
Like, I think they're all just versions of you in different lighting.
Because all you're seeing is a snapshot and a mm-hmm. tiny, tiny window to a big, big house. And mm-hmm. I think, too, like, it's all so subjective. That's the thing that I have had a sharp learning curve so far, and I've tried to, I'm trying to so hard to be one of those people that, like, doesn't have to touch the stove to know it's hot. Like, there are so many unbelievable people, present party included, that have gone before. And like, there are so many things that I've heard of that's like, don't read the comments because good feedback is still feedback and all of that. But it is so interesting because you could be the same version of yourself three different times, but it's subjective, right? So like mm-hmm. how you land to one person one day, you can not land, you know, same person the next day. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. There's like, I remember the most like edited, you know, I was Rylan started his podcast, The Sip. I was still, you know, not on the internet, canceled and not going anywhere near it. And I was so worried for him that I would watch every episode he made and I would give him notes because I was worried. I was like, oh, Lizzie said this thing or you said this thing and you could get in trouble for this. And I'm scared that, you know, whatever. And then eventually he was just like, I don't care. I don't want to do this. And I was just like, okay, but I'm so scared for you, whatever. And it happened a couple times. He would get in trouble or Lizzie would get in trouble for something that I knew would probably not, you know, whatever. But he just got through it and was like, no, this is whatever. And now I don't do that at all. And sometimes I'll listen to The Sip and I'll just be like, oh my God, I can't believe Lizzie just said that. Or I can't believe Ronald just said that. Or like, oh my God, whatever. But then like, but that's their show and that's real and that's them. And I feel like, you know, that's something where like, I'm so anxious and nervous about it because I've been through it. And also like, you know, and I'm working through that. But to loop back, I think like, whatever you feel like is going to make you the happiest version of you, you should do and not care about that. Because like, yeah, like, are you, you know, where you currently are at your happiest? And if you're not, then change it. But also, I feel like the last time you lived here was so different.
Oh my gosh. And we were all different people.
I was peak, like, not peak, but like, I was in an era where everybody wanted to, like, I mean, that sounds negative, but you know, maybe some people did like me and wanted to be my friend, but a lot of people just wanted to, like, use me, basically. And so, like, that there was an era where, like, and I'm not saying my actual friends, I'm saying, like, in general, in the YouTube landscape, right? Like, a lot of parties or things we were invited to or things that went, I mean, you and Rylan would go to a lot of those things, and I would kind of stay home, and, like, you know, so you were kind of around, and then that turns into now they were trying to use you, and they're leeching onto you, and it's, like, kind of that energy. I feel like that's gone on YouTube. I feel like everybody's on TikTok now. So, like, you know, like, that, good for them. Good luck.
But we're, like, not on the cool train anyway. We're happy here on the tube.
Yeah. And it's,
we're
like,
tubing.
And that's, that era is, feels kind of over to me. I haven't had any, you know, internet people reach out to me really to do anything. Like, it's just, you know, whatever. So, like, I think it's a different time. I think we're older. Me and Rylan are older. We have kids. We're not, like, our house isn't full of people anymore. Like, it's just a different energy. So I feel like it's, but I also feel like it's good. Like, I feel like things feel more real now than they did when, like, you're questioning every new person that comes into your life.
Yes. Like, we're very secure with the people in our lives these days.
Yeah. Like, if they stayed through this.
They're here for it all, babes.
Right.
Well, it's funny. I remember us all moving to Colorado, and I don't think that you guys ever wanted to come back to this house ever again.
No.
And now it's a new life. Like, it's so happy and vibrant and bright, and it feels completely different than it did. Even though it's the same house, it feels different than it did 8 years ago.
Well, even that's crazy, because, like, I look back and I'm like, wow, why did I, like, I had such a gut feeling about that house. I was not planning on moving to Colorado at all. Rylan literally picked up his vlog camera, and he was just like, I want to go look at this house. And I felt so fat that day. I did not want to be on camera. I was just like, ew, I, like, can't, like, oh, whatever. And he's like, come on, come on, come on. So we went to that house. And the second I walked in, I was like, this is our house. Oh my God, this is our house. Oh my God, this is our house. I just knew it. And yeah, I guess people could be like, well, but you were only there for a couple of years, and you know, so it wasn't really your house, and you lied. It's like,
no, but it served you well for the time you were there.
If we wouldn't have moved there, I would have never came back to YouTube, because the reason I came back to YouTube was because on your birthday trip, Trinity was telling us a story about a haunted bridge. And I was just like, I want to film that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to film that. And then I brought it up to, and then I brought it up to you. And then that idea kind of started spiraling. And I was like, wait. So it's like that. I never would have come back to YouTube. I don't know when I would have had kids, because, like, I didn't, like, being in that environment, that house, family, all those things, Colorado, it inspired me for that next chapter. That's where we started, you know, going down that. And, like, and yeah, and then our house here, because this is where our kids were born, which wasn't even the plan, it just happened that way. And because they were born here, it totally rebirthed that house and the energy, and cleared all the negativity from, you know, because I was canceled pretty quickly after we moved into that house. Like, I was only there for like a year, and then it was like, and the year I was there was the most dark year ever.
We were still peeling plastic off appliances. It was quick.
Yeah. And I, like, and I still stand by, and I love, you know, the makeup series and everything we did. But it was like, that year was crazy. It was drama, and it was this, and it was makeup, and it was, you know, the internet. It was like, that was a crazy year. It was right after Jake Paul, and then that, and then I got canceled. It was like that house only had seen, like, the craziest shit. And then, yeah, now it just feels so different.
The Colorado house was your healing house.
And now it's your family's house, which feels to me so, like,
it is cute.
That makes sense to me. That house I always thought was going to be in our family forever. I always thought maybe Max or Jet would take it one day, like, in my head when we got it and then we had kids. And I was like, maybe that's what my brain was telling me, that that's our family house because Max or Jet's going to take the whatever. But now, no, that's literally, it's literally in your family.
I mean, time will tell. Jet and Max could be like, this is the best house ever. We're moving in. 18 years from now, they'll be like, we want to go to rural Colorado. Yeehaw.
Yeah, maybe. Yeehaw.
No, they're going to be little beach boys, and they're going to get to Colorado and be like, what the fuckity fuck is this?
Maybe they'll be skiers.
Ooh. Except none of us know how to do that, so I don't know how they would get there.
Right, right, right.
we'll have to bring someone in.
Slight obstacle.
No, I think for me, I had the like epiphany a couple months ago where I was like, I am trying to prove everyone wrong. I'm going to show them I can be happy in this house. I'm going to live it up to the max of my abilities, because everyone was just like, you're ungrateful and you fought for this house. And I was like, I'm going to prove these bitches wrong and I'm going to make this house a house. But I think majority of my days, like I could say like, yes, I'm content there, but I'm like numbing the day away most of the day. Like I'm like, all right, I got to go get a puzzle or something so I can sit here and have something to occupy this brain.
Isn't it crazy though that like at the end of the day,
nobody like, cares.
All those bitches, as you put it, they're not there in your room with you alone at the end of the day. You're there. You're laying there being like, am I happy here? And all those bitches are online telling you, you better be happy there. And it's like, what? That's, you know.
It's a real, and it's so funny because now I like understand what you and my brother were always trying to tell me, because now Brooke's on the internet reading comments and mom's on the internet reading her own comments. It's like people that are exposed to the comment section for the first time. And I'm like, oh no, don't tap into it, because it's going to like change your perception on everything that you do and everything that you say and everything that you wear. And it's going to warp your brain. And you're then, because I always wonder, like, if I never had like so much feedback about myself, like, did I subconsciously change who I was to cater to what I thought people would like me as? Do you ever wonder that? Like, am I just a product of my own comment section of what I thought people wanted?
Yeah. I mean, even for me, like, I mean, I always wrote everything and was like excited about making sketches and stuff, but, and I would never blame the audience ever because I made everything, but I did feel like there was a time where I was ready to move on from sketches and ready to, you know, whatever. But like, I felt like the audience, that's what they wanted. So I need to do it. Like, they want these characters and they want this. And if I do anything, like whatever, I'm going to keep doing it. And like, I don't, you know, so I feel like, or even now it's like, people only want conspiracies. So I have to lean into that. Granted, I do love conspiracies. So thankfully that worked out. But like, you know, I don't know. I feel like, but you can't have it change. You shouldn't have it affect your actual daily life. Because if I did, and I never looked, and I have no idea what people said, but I'm sure people were like, Shane should never have kids. Shane should never do this. Shane should never, you know, try to have a show. Like, I'm sure that's all happening. And like, you know, Rylan should never marry Shane. I'm sure that's all happening. I haven't seen it, but I can just guess. And, you know, luckily I didn't listen to any of that, because then my children wouldn't have been born. Like, that's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Two people.
And then our lives would be so much sadder. They make me want to move. I want to just, oh, they're so damn
they're
cute.
They're so damn cute.
It is unbelievable how cute they are.
And also people, genuine people that are like caring and watching you and maybe not even leaving comments, like, genuine people are going to be happy to see you happy wherever you are. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember people got mad from what I heard, because I don't look, but I heard people were mad when we moved back to LA because they were like, oh, Shane was happy in Colorado. And I'm like, yes, I was happy in Colorado because I had a rebirth of life there, but I'm happy anywhere I am now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you can have happiness wherever you land.
Yeah. So it's like, for you, I think they'll see the happiness wherever you are. And so, you know, because like, yeah, eventually they're just going to see that you're sad at your current place. I don't know if you are, but I'm just saying, like, eventually.
I think go to where you're pulled. And if you're pulled to stay home where you are, then stay. And if you're pulled here, and that's the other thing too, is you're at a beautiful stage of life where you're not locked down and you don't have all these like anchors, right? Like, children are anchors. Like, a 9-to-5 would be an anchor. Like, you can spend like a month here if you wanted to. Yeah. You can go wherever you want to go, and that's a beautiful thing.
You also don't mm-hmm. have to make a huge life change decision. Yeah. You could literally like just rent something out here and rent out your house and use that to pay. Like, you don't have to sell it and buy a house mm-hmm. and do this and do that.
Yeah, all of these choices feel a lot deeper than they are. You just gotta do it, honey. Wow, this was like a therapy session. You guys are my therapist. You guys need a raise.
You are so loved, Miss Adams.
Yes. Never ask why we love you again.
How dare
like,
you?
Like, tell me more. Like, you guys really think that? You guys really think that I'm, like, so fun and cool?
I'm one of those people. I'm constantly texting Morgan. I'm like, hi, just thinking of you. Love you so much. Like, hope you have a great day. Morgan will just like the message.
Just a thumbs up, not even a heart.
No, it will be a heart. And I know that's her saying she loves me, too.
No, okay. Let me preface that. Me and my brother have a very small social bandwidth, as we know. And when I'm in the midst of editing, I can only think about one thing. This is my overarching issue in life, is I am so easily derailed from something that if I start editing, I have to stay there. And if anything diverts my attention, then the whole day is ruined. So I have to stay there. And then once I'm done, then I can like go back out into the world. But if I like even start doing my laundry or something, then I'm like, oh my God, well now I have to paint the whole house. Like everything's
it's
a mess.
It's the ADHD spiral, girl.
So I'm not intentionally ignoring Brooke bulk texts. Okay. Brooke is like, Brooke and Lizzie are birds of a feather flocking together. They'll send you 100 things. And then you're like, I'm going to get here. I promise. But like, I got to stay where I am right now. Me and my brother, I'm deciding maybe we both have, whatever is wrong with us, we both have
There's
it.
There's nothing wrong with
We
you.
Have a really low threshold. Shane's threshold is unbelievable. The amount of, I don't know how you do it, man. I don't.
Which part?
All of it. Mm. Because I, like, it's been a good learning process for me because now, like, we have a weekly thing and I've never been on a schedule and then there's editors and then you're trying to keep track of all these different people. So on a micro level, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what my brother and Shane are always actually stressed about. And I never understood it because I've always been like, I film it, I edit it, I post it when I want to. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm like bringing more people in and I have to coordinate and I have to make sure all these ducks are in a row for like everything to get done on time. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exhausting.
It is beautiful
in a
though.
Beautiful way though, because I'm like so grateful, not to complain, but it's like I've never had the pressure of like other people's timelines.
Yeah.
And now I like see what my brother is always outraged about, because it's like you're just trying to make all these things happen in like a small amount of time.
But capacity does change. Like I was really thinking about this yesterday. We filmed pretty much all day, like morning till late in the evening. And we went back to their house for dinner, and it was so beautiful to see the way Ryland switches back into dad mode. Like the minute he walked in the door, it's like, okay, where are my kids? Like locking into that. And it was almost like, because I could tell he was tired on the way home from the office, but it was like the minute he walked in the door, he got a whole new tank of gas and he gave everything he needed to give. And then the boys went to bed and it was like he could wind back down. But I think that's capacity changes when you push it. So it's like, it's uncomfortable. Those growing pains are uncomfortable, but it's amazing to see how we can adapt, right? Because I'm sure that tank of gas might not have existed before the kids came. And then it's like, you kind of grow and then they're toddlers and then you need twice the tank. And
no, yeah, it's like learning to expand. I'm learning to expand my threshold. And I think it's all positive, good things, but like all, yeah, it's all positive, good things. That's all I have to say. But it's like, I look at my brother and Shane and I'm like, oh my gosh, they have what I have to do in a day times 10. And Shane is just calm and collected always. Whereas me and my brother, I feel like we can get kind of like cuckoo. We have to be fed. We have to be caffeinated. You can't talk to us too much or we're gonna have a meltdown. Like, would you say we're particularly particular? And then I'll do weird things and I'm like, Brooke, don't worry. My brother's like this too. It's not just me.
No. And you do weird things and I don't even know you're doing a weird thing until you're like, was that weird? I'm like, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't even.
Yeah, he like, yes. Like even the other day, but he'll acknowledge it now and then. Like the other day, what did he do? He did something that, you know, pissed me off. But I was like, I'm not going to say it in the moment because if I do, he'll snap. And so a few days later, I told him, hey, by the way, this thing you did pissed me off. For him. He's like, oh, okay, sorry, whatever. He's like, why didn't you tell me in the moment? I'm like, because you would have went fucking crazy. And he was just like, yeah, I would have. And I was like, okay, great. Mm. So work on that.
Thanks for
like,
that.
Maybe next time.
Thank you for that. Thanks for validating me.
Maybe next time. But yeah, like, yeah, he gets really heated very fast. Like road rage, like not actually, but like he goes from zero to a million. Whereas I tend to do the opposite where I just shut down and he goes crazy. So like that's a weird mix. And like when you have employees, like that's another thing that maybe is new for you. It's like that is such a complicated, bizarre thing when you do something alone for so long, but then you get to a point where you like actually can't do it alone and you need help. But then like you're trying to balance, you know, well, I don't want this person to not like me because like if they don't like me, like also like I don't want them to take advantage of me and just like, you know, waste my time, but also like I'm paying them and that's kind of complicated. So it's like there's so many complicated things with it, but as you get older you figure it out. Like in when I was your age, I don't remember what employees I had back then, but even when I was like 20, 22, I had employees and like some of them I was like afraid to say something. Oh, well, you know what? And some of them like whatever, or I'd let them treat me weird or the wrong way or whatever. But as you get older, you just are like, oh, it's not personal.
It's all growing pains.
You literally just had like, even the other day, like I was voice memoing with my editor for my like Patreon vlogs. And I was just like, it's like, girl, this vlog isn't working. I don't know if it's my fault for what I filmed or your fault for this edit. I did say, though, it's not your fault for the edit because like it wasn't. I was like, I think I was boring that day. I was like, I don't know. We got a game plan. Like, I think maybe this song, let's change that, whatever. It's like, because if I would have just kept going like, oh, like we never would have got anywhere. It's like, girl, it's not. And then he replied and he was like, girl, it ain't working. I was like, we're on the same page. And then I got an idea. I was like, I'm going to refilm it. So, yeah.
And then back to square one. We're starting over. Today's episode is brought to you by the one, the only SeatGeek. As we've been talking about for months, we are so excited to go see Hilary Duff this summer, and you can always find the best deal on SeatGeek. Spring is upon us, girls and gays. It is the perfect time to get out of the house, go have a night out that you've been craving. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. There are so many artists going on tour right now, like Bruno Mars, Zara Larsson, Lady Gaga, Cardi B, Chris Stapleton, Zach Bryan, Luke Combs, BTS, Ariana Grande, and so many more. So grab your tickets now. I love using SeatGeek because you know SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so you know you're getting a good deal. So look for the green dots. Green means good, red means bad, plus every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. Concert season is right around the corner. To make it even better, you can use the code HEARMEOUT10 for 10% off your SeatGeek tickets. That's 10% off tickets with promo code HEARMEOUT10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you so much to SeatGeek for sponsoring this episode.
We have a great rapid fire of quick and easy questions because we've already emotionally dumped on all of you. In a good way. Shane gave us all very insightful advice. Thank you for your insightful advice.
Thank you for your insightful advice back.
Oh, right. Me just crying. What is the trend right now that you hate the most?
You know what's weird? Okay, sorry. I know it's supposed to be rapid fire. But what's weird is the older I get, the less annoyed I get by trends. Like 5 years ago, ooh, I was mad when it was like the, not the, for me.
Oh, it's the for me.
It's the for me. Mm-hmm. That pissed me off. Or like.
That's so niche.
Things like that would piss me. It would make me crazy. Really? Or like everybody would be obsessed with something that I was just like, oh my God, like but then when the Dubai chocolate thing happened, I should have been annoyed and I wasn't. Now with like all the dirty soda, like crazy shit these girls are making, it should be annoying to me. It's not. I feel like the older I get, the more I'm just like, all right.
Let the kids have fun.
Let the kids have fun. I remember one time I asked you this question just like nonchalantly and you were like, I hate the stupid sticky things that all those girls are putting on their phone to stick to the window. The Octo Buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of what it signified. It was like, you're always ready to, you know what I mean? Like,
can't turn it on.
TikTok or whatever. Which even now I'm like, do your thing. Make your thing. Stick it do to your that. House tour and all that shit. Have fun.
Oh my gosh. Are you guys going to do that when you get the new house tour?
Manifesting.
We're manifesting. Every time that we film, there's been a house update for them. And so I was like, we just got to turn on the cameras and something good's going to happen.
On its way.
What is your favorite thing you've ever created?
Oh my God.
That is such a loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
I mean, well, I'd say like, there's so many things I've made that I am really proud of in different chapters of my life. I think my current chapter, and I'm not just saying this because I'm trying to sell it, but like, I think the pilot. And I think it's the first time I've ever made something where I'm excited for strangers who have no context to see it. And they don't need to know who I am, or they don't need to understand my humor, or they don't need to understand literally anything about me or what I've made it for 20 years or any of that. It's like, it's something that kind of stands alone. And I don't think I've ever made anything like that.
Yeah, where you weren't the fate, like you weren't the one selling the personality.
Right.
Or your personality.
Yeah, it wasn't like there's like inside jokes or like, you know, I don't know. Like it, I kind of, that was always my security blanket of like, well, I'll just like, you know, I don't know. So not being in it, but was something I was like excited to do because I've never done that before. And then like, I don't know. Watching it with people who haven't seen it yet has been like such a life-changing experience because I never thought that anybody would like something I made without the context of like, I've been watching you for, you know, since I was 12 or something.
It must be so freeing too, to be so like let out of the gate creatively where you can really do whatever you want. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
It is really exciting. I have seen a sneak peek and I was a fan. Well, I can tell you, as a girl that would sit on my couch and watch a Netflix to numb out the day, I would click the whole series.
Period.
Because it's cool. So, I feel like people now, too, you have to like capture their attention within the first 5 minutes or it's over. If you click on something and you're not like, oh, one of these characters is pulling me in, it's over. So, I think people will really like it. It'll capture all audiences. He's going to make waves in the community, the TV community.
Listen, anybody that wants to give us money to make it, like, I'll do it. I'm just excited to, like, make it.
Oh, my gosh. It was so fun, too. It was really amazing because I feel like sets are so random, like, such a random jumble of people. But everyone there was just so, like, happy and nice and sweet. Mm-hmm. And it was good. Good fun times. Good energy on everyone on board.
Yeah. It was, like, the most fun I've had making something ever. Like that, for sure.
Well, hopefully you'll get to see you soon. We're manifesting. We're all manifesting.
I do have a random question that wasn't in here.
You're in it, but you can ask your question. Oh. I forgot. Sorry. I was just adding in Brooke's in it.
In what? Oh, yeah, I am.
TikTok girl.
TikTok girl. Okay.
No, I did give you a name.
Did you?
Because we had... So in the pilot, Brooke is a girl on TikTok. When Rachel gets canceled, the movie star on the show, she's watching TikToks about herself. And one of them is... Brooke being horrible to her.
Yeah, so mean.
I did give you a name.
Did you?
Because I had to like make a name and a profile, right? And like there's comments and there's likes and like whatever.
Do you remember what the I want to know? So
your alter ego, new ego.
Wow, I'm going to ride that. That's my new Instagram bio. It's
so now AKA. On the IMDb. Oh, there will be a name.
Oh, ooh. I'm not TikTok girl number 4.
That's my goal.
That is so sweet of you, Shane.
But also, you auditioned for like one of the main parts and you were so good.
You're such a liar.
I swear to God, I don't lie about stuff like that. I mean, I do, but like I would never like, on a public platform. But you were so good. And I texted Morgan right away. I was like, wait, she's so good. And I think we saw, you know, I don't know, like 100 or a couple hundred girls for that part.
Oh,
and like it was you and two other girls. And
that, like, is so flattering.
Like,
I hadn't even thought for a second about acting in probably close to 12 years.
Wow.
Oh, like I was like a theater kid growing up. I did a couple things when I first moved to LA, and I always really wanted to get into acting, but I went more the music route. And I will never forget, I was sitting on my couch eating God knows what. Morgan's like, hey, so Shane just texted me. It was an invisible ink, by the way. We were whispering. We were whispering about this. She goes, not to freak you out, but Shane wants you to audition for the pilot. Would you do it? I actually gulped. I went, okay, yeah. And I had to Google how to self-tape. Like, what? How to self-tape and not look like an idiot.
And I watched so many damn YouTube videos to figure that out.
Oh my gosh, I bet there's a Barnes & Noble's book that's like, self-tapes for dummies.
For dummies, dummy.
The yellow one.
And my husband was so sweet. He sat behind the camera with me for like 2 hours and like helped me read the lines. And it was just the most, it was so, again, it was so healing because I hadn't thought that I would ever do anything like that ever again in my life.
You
I thought I was
so
washed
good.
Up.
You were so funny.
Work on the big screen.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Shane, you're that's so such a compliment. Expressive.
It was like, sometimes you watch an audition and you know, you just feel that the person isn't fully like, I don't know, in it or understanding the character or understanding the motives or any of that. You were like, first take, I watched it and I was just like, oh my God, she's really good, which I knew. I just had a gut feeling. I didn't even know if you acted. I just Mm-mm. asked Morgan, I was like, does she act? Because I think she could pull this part off. Let me send this to her. And yeah, I watched it and I was just like, oh my God.
That is so flattering.
It was so funny, made me laugh. I believed it, which is a big thing.
Shane.
And it's hard to believe like such a crazy, because that character specifically is like one of the more over the top characters. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
That's so sweet.
Well, and now you're in it as, I need to look up her name.
Oh my gosh, I'm really curious.
Which I'm so happy that worked out because, and I'm not just saying this, but like that moment is such an important moment in the show. It's like, because it is based on how, you know, what I went through in a way. And like, you're so mean.
Right.
And it's so
right
intense. And it's so like exactly what that is. And it hits. Like, it feels so fucking real. Like, and while she's watching it, she's just bawling. Fuck. And it's like, it cuts to her bawling and then cut back to you just being like, you fucking bitch. Like, it's so good.
I can't wait to see it. When you're like, I keep showing strangers, I'm like, and can I be added
yes.
to the stranger list?
We should do a screening. I have like the final version.
Hey, I'm begging.
Movie night.
Hey, so don't want to be dramatic. Night. I'm begging, actually. That would be my dream. My final question for you, Shane. Because we're teeing this up.
I should let Brooke ask the questions.
We are speaking to Spencer later today. And I met Spencer. I have been wanting to meet Spencer since a thirst trap video came up on my For You page the day after we posted our first episode of this podcast. I'm scrolling on TikTok and a thirst trap of Spencer showed up. And then I went, hold on, this is niche. I am the niche audience in question here. Clicked on it. And then there was a shipping video of Morgan and Spencer. Like,
Sporgans.
Yeah. Caught a fan at it. And I've been curious about Spencer ever since. And after meeting him yesterday, you two as a duo, underratedly, it's very, very cool to see someone who matches your energy so well. How has it been working with him in this next chapter? Because I could tell you guys can just really bounce off each other.
Yeah, it's like crazy. It's crazy because the moment I saw him, we did a Zoom interview because he was interviewing to be our assistant. And the second he popped on screen, everything in me told me, this person's going to be in your life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not even for this job. Like, it's just like, this person's important. You like, and we did like 10 interviews that day and I didn't feel that way about anybody. And there was a lot of great candidates, but like there was something about him and it was this weird feeling. And I grabbed Ryland. And then after the meeting, I turned around. And I'm like, it's him. We're hiring him. I don't know. I just feel it. Oh my God. And Ryland's like, okay. Like, I trust you. Like, I was like, okay, we hired him on the spot. And then the first day he worked for us, we were planning a podcast or something. And I said some joke that like didn't land. I don't know. I was just throwing out a joke. And he like said something back, acknowledging that my jokes suck.
He humbled you in that moment.
Yeah, it's like I said it and like it wasn't very funny, and then he like said something that was like acknowledging that it wasn't funny, but it was so funny. And I was like, oh, you're funny. And then, you know, he was our assistant, and like, and I think he would be honest about this, he wasn't, that's not his thing.
Yeah,
it wasn't like he wasn't loving being an assistant.
It was, or not
like,
his destiny.
No, but as he was doing that, we would just start coming up with ideas and planning things. And like, I'd be like, well, do you want to help me plan a podcast? Well, do you want to help me plan this video? Like, you know, whatever. And then we just really creatively connected.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I laugh so much with him, but also he's not somebody who like needs to, like, I could just sit in silence with him.
That's what I noticed, is he matches the energy of a room so well. The other thing
this is me hyping Spencer up. I'm like, he's really great. But I noticed yesterday, I was just observing, and anytime anyone talks to him, he stops what he's doing and looks them dead in the eyes and listens to every word coming out of their mouth as if it's the most important thing that's ever been said.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who. It could be the waiter. It could be like anybody. I thought that was really, it's cool because sometimes creative people, like, they can, I've been in many creative spaces and it's hard to find a counterpart who is so emotionally aware as he is creatively talented. So it's cool to see that you found someone who can match you so well.
Well, I think because he also, like I've been through a almost life-ending, life-altering situation and it really changed me. And like he, which he's open about, had a health situation that almost took his life. And so it's like, I think we both had that experience of like, everything could change really fast and you have to appreciate everything and you can't take anything for granted. And like, you can't take anything too personally. And like, life is really short. Like, I feel like we both have that similar thing, which also kind of feeds into like the dark comedy and like dark jokes. And like, I feel like we are very similar in a lot of ways, but he's also 10 years younger than me, but he doesn't feel like it. Like, I'll forget. But I'm just like, oh my gosh, yeah, you are. Like, you're 27, I think he is. It's like, oh my God, like, what was I doing when I was 27? But now 27, like, you're 28. Like, that's, time is going so fast. It's really scary. But yeah, he's very mature and emotionally intelligent and, like, polite. And not somebody who's always looking over your shoulder for something better. Like, he's, and I've told him so many times from the very beginning, I was like, because when I first interviewed him, it's like, well, what's your goal? He's like, well, I want to be a writer on a TV show. Like, I'd love to be, you know, on The Simpsons or one of these shows. And I was like, great. I want to help. Like, if you ever find that job, I will give you a recommendation and go for it. Like, I don't want you to ever feel like you can't do that. Like, I don't want you to feel like you're trapped with this YouTube thing, whatever. But yeah, now we've grown and, you know, doing all these things. And, you know, he's producing the show with me. And like, I don't know. It's just been really cool.
That is so cool.
With but it didn't start that way.
Yeah. It's so, that makes a lot of sense. Because I was curious, like, how he came into the mix.
It's so funny because I don't ever remember there being, like, an awkward period with Spencer. It's like, we didn't know Spencer and then we did know Spencer. But it, there was never, like, a getting to know him phase.
No.
You know, it always just felt like he was there. Like, I always forget. We'll, like, leave at the end of the day and we're, like, going home to eat dinner and Spencer's going to his house. And I'm like, oh my God, he doesn't come home with us. Like, he has his own life. Spencer is not, like, in our immediate family. I always forget. He feels like if...
And he has a full life.
He has a full life, but you feel like if I, like, looked back on Mom's baby books and saw Spencer, like, in our family photos, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, right. I feel like somehow he was, like, plopped in our family and we forgot.
So someday, if I Photoshop one of those photos and stick it in a baby book,
it wouldn't be jarring at all. I'd be like, that makes so much sense. And what I tell everybody about Spencer is there is nobody on planet Earth that can read a room and match the energy as well as Spencer can. That's like his gift. He, like, nobody ever feels uncomfortable in the presence of Spencer.
I've never been worried about bringing him anywhere, which, not that I'd be worried about somebody, but, like, you know, some people, you don't know how they're going to react to certain situations, especially coming up, like, pitching the show and doing all these things. Like, we had this screening with my agents and, like, that's like an intimidating scary experience that he's never been in before, and I didn't even think about it. And then I, like, right before we walk in, I turn to him, I'm like, oh, this is, like, crazy, right?
Like, are you okay?
And he's just, like, you know, I'm nervous and whatever. I'm like, okay. And we were in there and you never would have known. Like, just is chill.
That's super cool.
He is chill. When we, because we did a duo birthday party because Spencer's birthday is the day before mine. And I had people that were texting me on my birthday because we had posted, both Spencer and I posted one time on Instagram last year and it was our birthday photo dumps. And the people in my real life were like, who is this? Like, are you dating this? Like, who is this person? And I'm like, it's Spencer.
It's
like,
Spencer. Like,
duh.
It's,
where have you been?
What do you, like, it's Spencer. Like, he's one with us. What do you mean, who is that? It's Spencer. And it's just interesting because I feel like there's always a, like, a mixing people in phase, and he was always just mixed in my eyes. That's why I had a theory that he was AI, because I was like, did Shane program our brains to be like, yes, this is our bot Spencer.
Collective memory.
This is our family member Spencer. This is our dear friend Spencer.
He's been here forever. Where have
he's
you been?
He's been here forever. Where have you been?
I know. It is weird to think he hasn't been here for, it's been, what, 3 years? And it feels like the whole time.
Yeah, and even weirder, like, So he started like casually being in Rylan's vlogs, and then he started casually being in my vlogs. But I feel like people weren't like, who is that? Everyone was just like, it's Spencer. Duh.
Yeah, that's get with the program. Power.
It is.
He's there. He's here. He's loud. He's proud.
I do not have that superpower. I walked in the door. He goes, oh, hey, it's you. I go, oh. And you know who great, making a splash. Awesome.
I did feel highly complimented because on our podcast Instagram, it said Bangin' Bernard, follow back. And I was
just wait till you get that Henry Bernard.
Henry
brother,
Bernard.
His brother. Once you start seeing that name pop up, you're like, oh, I'm in the family.
Henry, you're being summoned. Henry, please.
I really want Spencer's mom to make us a key lime pie.
We were on the way home last night. She goes, you know, Spencer's mom makes a mean key lime pie.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. Middle of the night. I went, oh, okay.
And where's our key lime pie? Mm-hmm. Well, this isn't about Spencer. We're going to have him on next. This is about shit.
I just had a burning question before he got in that seat because I have a lot of questions for him. I'm very excited.
Well, thanks for joining us today. Thanks, Shane. Thanks for all the life advice. Thank you
for hearing me out.
Yeah, it is. What's well?
That, yeah. Period.
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 My mom would say, period, poo.
I did hear her say that the other day. I went, oh, Vicky.
I think she got that from him, but then he cut the poo.
Also, if you see Brooke in the comments, tell her to go away.
They do all say hi to me. They go, hey. No, they go, hey, bitch, I know you're here. I went, oh, all right. Well, busted.
Well,
we're working on it. We're working on it.
I'm terrible at ending these. Well, that was a very fun time, everybody. Thanks. Follow Shane Dawson and the Shane Dawson podcast.
You were already followed. Who are we kidding?
Well, thanks, everyone.
Or unmute me.
Oh, please. We're begging.
Unmute me. Check out what I'm doing over there. Don't read the comments.
Yeah.
We'll link him below or on the magical little end screen. Bye. Thanks, Shane.